Good morning.
Good morning.
Last week we encountered a very interesting sugya, and we were so blinded by one astonishing facet of that sugya that we almost didn't pay attention to the other very, very important parts of it. The astonishing facet of the sugya, at least that interested us last week, was the fact that leather clothing is exempt from tzitzis. The Gemara assumes that if the majority of a garment is made out of leather, even if the corners are made out of wool or linen or some other material, so that garment is going to be patur from tzitzis. And conversely, thank you very much. Conversely, if the majority of a garment is made out of wool, right, or linen or some other material, and just the corners are made out of leather, so once again we'll follow the majority of the garment, and will obligate the garment in tzitzis, even though the corners are made out of leather. And what so astonished us about this Gemara was the assumption of the Gemara, which we found very difficult to base on the Psukim, but we saw the Levush and Rav Moshe Feinstein and others, right, who found the basis for it, was the fact that leather is exempt from tzitzis. But before we move onwards, I think that we need to consider the other massive, massive chiddush that this Gemara is telling us. Namely, that the majority of a beged determines the status of that beged for tzitzis. We don't follow the corners, we don't pay attention to the minor portion of the beged, but rather we follow the majority of the beged. And this is an idea which finds itself reflected and played out in many, many areas of halacha. For instance, some of them we've seen already. If the majority of a beged is... We'll wait for Alvin to get to the color one, right? But if the majority of the beged, let's say you have got a beged which is 65% polyester and 35% viscose, and you don't have any wool tzitzis to put onto it, so what material should you make the tzitzis strings out of? 65% polyester, 35% viscose. What should the tzitzis be made out of? Polyester. It's a polyester beged because we follow the robe, even if those 35% are concentrated in the corners, which are probably the most powerful defining parts of the beged for tzitzis, that makes no difference. It's the majority of the beged which has a more powerful defining influence even than the corners. Let's say that you have the majority of the beged is white, right? But there's 20% of the beged which have black stripes or blue stripes or multicolored stripes. So according to those Mefarshim who say that the tzitzis should have the same color as the beged, what color should the tzitzis beged be? It should be white. What if conversely, let's say that more than 50% of the beged is colored blue or red or purple or some, what color should the strings be according to Rashi and the Rambam and the others who say that the strings should be the same color as the beged? Colored. Right, colored. If 51% of the beged is colored, so then that defines the robe of the beged. Now, there's a very, very interesting application of this, which is actually quite relevant to anyone who wears a certain style of suit jacket. And so I want to do a little bit of a hands-on demonstration. Everyone can inspect this to make sure there's no rabbits hidden inside of it. Okay? It's an old undershirt. Is this undershirt chayiv and tzitzis or not?
No.
It's potter. Why is it potter from tzitzis? It has no corners. Okay. Watch. We are going to magically transform this undershirt, right, into a beged that is chayiv and tzitzis. Assuming that these scissors are sharp enough.
Are you taking a video?
Yeah.
No.
Now, is this undershirt chayiv and tzitzis?
Yes.
No. One second. We have votes. We have votes of yes and votes of no.
Make it a little bit.
So let's just see for a second. The undershirt now has four corners. One, two, three, and four. So you would think that now it should be chayiv and tzitzis. Okay, you're already a step ahead of me, right? So now, why is this undershirt such an important example? Well, this particular jacket, I don't think poses a problem because, right, the jacket's four corners, if you take a look, here's one corner, two corners, three corners, four corners, five corners, six corners. It's still chayiv in tzitzis. A six-cornered garment is also chayiv. You've got to put four tzitzis on four of the corners. Machlok is which four, but it still is chayiv in tzitzis. Why don't I have tzitzis on my jacket? Because there's an interesting exception which says that the tzitzis are supposed to surround a person on all four sides. And so in this jacket, the tzitzis are not surrounding me on four sides. I've got two right on my upper chest and two on my lower chest, and there's nothing in back of me at all. And so that's why, in general, we do not put tzitzis on our jackets, cardigans, etc. However, right, there are some jackets which have two corners over here, and they also have two corners in the back, right, a double slit in the back, right? In addition, now if there's a single slit in the back in the center, so then that might not count as being surrounded on all four corners because you've got two in the front, right? But the two that are in the back are in the center rather than on the corners. But if a jacket has a double slit in the back, so then you've got two corners in the front, you've got two corners in the back, and the garment should be chayiv in tzitzis, just like this undershirt is chayiv in tzitzis. It's got the two corners in the front, kind of, right? Two corners in front, and it's got the two corners in back. And so fundamentally, this undershirt is no different from a jacket with a double slit in the back. And that's why what the poskim say about this will apply to that. And let's just bring it forward. Mr. Amster, please present your solution. So the majority of this undershirt doesn't have four corners. Now let's just refine this for a second, right? The majority of any garment is not going to have four corners because the majority will not be part of the corner. The majority of the garment will be part of the garment. In this case, right, what the Beis Yosef tells us is that we need to measure the undershirt from top to bottom. And we need to assess whether the corners, right, whether the corner, the property of being possessed of corners applies to the entire garment, to 51% of the garment, or only to a minority of the garment. And what the Beis Yosef says is, if you measure this from top to bottom, you'll discover that about 90% is what he calls a beged atum, a closed soft beged. It's totally round, right, without any corners at all, and it's only the last 10% which begins to have corners. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, we'll treat the entire garment, we'll give it its identity as a beged atum, right? Not paying attention to the fact that there's 10%, right, which begins to taper off into corners. So if I wanted to transform, right, this undershirt into a beged, which is chayiv in tzitzis, what would I need to do?
Not all the way up.
51% has to be
half preserved.
51%. We'll try to go with a 51%, which is nira le'inayim. And I think that this, by the way, for those of you who are looking for cheaper alternatives to tzitzis, so you can just buy undershirts and then cut them, assuming that...
The one that they sell are not 51% cut. They are about, I would say, like 3 tefachim maximum. And they're still kosher tzitzis, so why is it?
Who says that they're kosher tzitzis?
The one that they sell,
now,
the three,
you all saw there was no rabbit in here, but I have transformed this undershirt into a beged, which is chayiv in tzitzis. And now all I need is a strings, and we can use it to fulfill the mitzvah, possibly even better than the tzitzis that have big neck holes in the middle of them. That's a different story. So we have here now, it is no longer a beged atum, a sealed up beged, because 51% of it, right, is already transformed into a beged which has the beginning of a corner on it, and therefore, right, this will be chayiv in tzitzis. The jackets, right, the assumption is that if you measure the height of the slits, that they don't get up to 51% of the height of the jacket, and therefore the identity of the jacket is the identity of a beged atum, and that is why they're exempt from tzitzis.
90% of the slits, four corners.
If you
go up to 90%, not 50%.
Right, but all you need is a robe of the Begad. That's what the...
Then you have a four-quartered Begad.
And then you have a four-quartered, exactly.
51 is a minimum.
Yeah. 51 is a minimum. That's how the Gemara is understanding it. If you're not going to follow the corners, right, which is ha-kanaf min kanaf, so what will you follow? Right, it's got to be the robe. Right, now it's true, Rabbi Schechter has a beautiful essay where he says there's five different types of robe. Right, there's a 51% robe, and then there's a robe which is a little bit higher than that, and then there's a robe that's higher than that. When it comes to saying, let's say, Safik Nefashos Lahakel, so there you need a super duper robe in order to avoid, to not say Safik Nefashos Lahakel. When we say Inholchim B'mamon Achar HaRob, so that's a different robe. It's not necessarily 51%. When we talk about Bittel B'rob, that's 51% robe. When we talk about, on a level of Midirabanon, we say Kol Deparish Meruba Parish. So Midiraisa, Miruba Parish means 51%. Midirabanan, it means 91%. So there's all these different levels, right, of robe, which Rabbi Schechter attempts to assign percentage points to them. In this case, the Beis Yosef seems to assume it's a 51% robe. According to some poskim, it needs to be a robe hanireh le'inayim, meaning that it can't be that you look at it and you're not sure whether robe of the Begad is atum or whether robe of the Begad is cornered. Right? You need to be able to look at it and it's apparent, right, to the undiscerning eye that this Begad is a Begad shel kanfos rather than a Begad atum. But once you've got that type of a robe, according to the Beis Yosef and the poskim, you're definitely good. That becomes a Begad hachayav betzitzis. A shirt, I think, would run into the problem again that it's not surrounding you on all four sides. Meaning, if the tzitzis are going to be two on the top of the chest together and two on the bottom of the chest together, so then you're not going to be surrounded on all four sides by tzitzis.
A shirt that is, let's say, all around.
No, like your shirt, just cut the corners of your shirt. You'll be all right.
A polo shirt.
Polo shirt, exactly. You don't need a regular shirt.
Right now, the polo shirt is interesting. It may depend on how many. Well, the truth is that the top is not going to count because the top is not on the four sides. It's the right. Corners are so both in the center.
If it's cut on both sides.
But if it's cut on both sides, but you don't have them 51% up. The cuts are not 51% up the length of the shirt.
That's true. But theoretically, if you would do that, you could.
Right. If not for this Gemara, if we paskin like Rav Acha and against Rava, Rav Acha who says that we care about the corners, not about the majority of the Begad, so then that would be Chayiv in Tzitzit. So we should be very thankful, those of us who wear the slit jackets or the polo shirts and stuff like that, that we do paskin like Rava. Right. Although, I think there are some poskim would bring down that Anshei Maisa should be concerned for Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. The Gemara doesn't make this, doesn't weigh in on this. It's later poskim who say that Rava is more authoritative, and so there are those who want to be choshesh for the opinion.
Those tzitziot that they sell in, Gift World and etc., which is a undershirt and tzitzit together, mm-hmm. I don't think they are cut 51%.
So they're going like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov.
Why does the machlokas between Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and Rav have anything to do with the amount of corners? Mm-hmm. Of the corners. That's just the amount of
meaning the Beis Yosef. Ooh, welcome back.
Nice to see you.
Take a pause.
Others, right? But when you cut this t-shirt now, the corners are also close to each other. What would you consider, even if it's 51% off, what would you consider it to be four corners?
I can't put it on anymore because if I did, I would be neglecting the mitzvah of tzitzis. But it's got a big enough slit that this corner is in front. This corner.
Before on your jacket, you took off your jacket and you showed. Mm-hmm. If your jacket would have had one slit, that means it would have had four corners, but because the corners are too close to each other.
It already has four corners. It has six corners. One, two, three.
Corners that are on the bottom, right? Not on top.
Corners that are in the bottom and on four sides. So I would say that a one slit right, might be that instead you've got a triangle. I mean, you're not surrounded on four sides, you're surrounded on three sides, right? Because the two back ones are both in the center rather than being on either side, the right and the left.
If they're close to each other this way, it's not considered four corners, right?
If there's a Menachem Garfinkel, if anyone knows a Menachem Garfinkel, your credit card is up here.
Am I right in assuming that? Is that what you meant? Because they're too close to each other, that's why
you
can't...
Again, the way that Beis Yosef says it is that they need to be front right, front left, back right, back left.
So according to the T-shirt, what you just showed, they're both together. I mean, according to you just cut it up, they're close to each other.
They're front, front and back.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a gray area about to define, right, when something is in front and in back as opposed to being just in the side on the middle. There's a little bit of a gray area in defining that. I think we would generally tend to define that as being, right, as long as they're hanging somewhat separately, I think we would tend to define that as being front and back, as opposed to the suits, which are like literally built so that the two corners should overlap or directly adjoin one another.
By the T-shirt, there's no question about it. That needs folk
If you see how it hangs, right, just look at how these corners hang while I'm holding it. You can see already that they're pulling apart from one another rather than adjoining. So that's why I think I would consider that, right, they're pulling apart. You can see that one corner is here, right, and then the other corner is here. And even when I leave it loose, right, even when I leave it loose, right, those two corners are not...
That's what he does.
Hmm?
They're not really front back.
If you have a huge city, so if they touch each other, stop being a city, of course not.
The front corners are not touching each other. So then I've got two front corners, but I don't have two back corners.
Well, they're pretty close, almost the same as the back. I mean, if you wear it in normal fashion, let's say buttoned up, they're overlapping or they're touching each other.
Right. So then you could ask whether is it meant to be worn buttoned up? Is it meant to be worn unbuttoned?
In other words, what they're saying is even on the suit, the corners are right next to each other. It's not like on four different equal corners.
Yeah, so again, my feeling is that when we talk about being surrounded on four sides, we don't mean like literally the four points of the compass, but we mean something that's in the rough approximation, right, of a square or a rectangle, right, or some similar, you know, polygon, as opposed to a triangle, right, or something that more closely resembles a triangle. Now, how does one measure those different types of shapes? So we can invite a mathematician, to give us a presentation and geometry of it, or we can invite a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is very into defining, you know, shapes in halacha, but for the most part, you can basically look at something and see whether it's on four corners or whether it's only on three. Yes.
According to the Rosh, it depends on the baguette. Mm-hmm. So, isn't one supposed to, if one buys a baguette that's chayv and sits, is supposed to put it on whether he wears it or not? Or just.
I'm not sure which Rosh you're referring to. We'll get to the discussion later on whether it's a chovas mana or a chovas gavra. I think we pass in generally it's a chovas gavra.
Oh.
So you don't have to put tzitzis on to clean it in your closet. You only need, if you want to wear a four-cornered garment, you need to make sure that there's tzitzis on it. Just like there's no mitzvah, right, to eat meat, right? But if you want to eat meat, you need to shecht it first. So there's no mitzvah necessarily. And now again, right, there is one who wants to fulfill all the 613 mitzvos in his lifetime, right, should make sure, right, to eat shechted meat at least once in their life. A person wants to fulfill mitzvahs as often as possible, so potentially they could become a shochet and shech the animals the whole day, and they're fulfilling that mitzvah of shechita and tzitzis. No matter what you do, you can get the mitzvah every day, which is why we try to get it. But it's not because it's a chovas mana, it's a chovas gavra, where we try to seize the opportunity as often as possible, which is pretty much every day. Okay, so that brings to a close, right, the discussion of the leather and wool garment and the different proportions of leather to wool in different locations. And now, in order to go onwards, we actually have to go a little bit further back and review a concept that we had earlier at the beginning of last week. And by way of introduction, I'll share with you a riddle that I first heard from my grandfather, and maybe one or two other interesting riddles which should open up our minds to the type of exercise that we're going to need to perform in the coming sugya. So here's the riddle. What is higher than heaven, lower than earth, and if eat it, you'll die? Those who know the answer, don't say it out loud yet. Give people a chance to think about it. What's higher than heaven, lower than earth, and if you eat it, you'll die? By show of hands, who has the answer? So let me just reconstruct.
Can I buy a vowel?
Oh.
What's grandfather's phone number?
So let me just reconstruct this riddle, right? Something is higher than heaven, right? Something is lower than earth. If you eat something, you'll die. Right? What is this something? Right? Now I've just taken it apart and I've made three sentences, each which has a mystery word, right? Which in my case I used something, right? And so now can we figure out, right, some word which fits in each of the three sentences? And what's the answer? Is that a serious answer or?
I forgot.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, it's like one of those lightning flashes. So I kind of gave it away with my word over there, right? The answer is not something, but nothing. I call it nothing is higher than heaven, and nothing is lower than the earth, and if you eat nothing. So that's the answer, and somehow we've taken those three sentences and we found the one word that fits in with each of those three. But it's difficult, right? The word is just, you call it X, you know, in algebra, and then you have to figure out, you know, what exactly is the value, right, of X in this particular riddle. So in the upcoming sugya, we're going to be doing something very, very similar. We have a concept. Right, concept X in the upcoming sugya has a name. Right, the Gemara doesn't call it X. The Gemara actually knew what it was, just that it makes it a little bit of a mystery for us. The name of the concept is Ta'ase Velo Min Ha'asui. Ta'ase Velo Min Ha'asui, and that I'm going to call concept X. Right, in the upcoming sugya, because our task, our challenge will be to define, right, what exactly is this concept? What is the meaning? What is the definition of ta'ase velo min ha'asui? And I sort of gave away the opening of the sugya last week. I had to translate it when we read it. Again, can someone remind me, where did we have ta'ase velo min ha'asui last week? I think that it was four lines from the top of the Amud, three words from the end, Mem Amud Beis. Okay, 1 second. Right, four lines from the top, three words from the end. So again, can somebody remind me how we interpreted the case? Or first of all, can somebody read just what is the case which the Gemara describes as posing a problem of Ta'ase Velo Min Ha'asui? There are four lines from the top. Shema. Right, so maybe the tzitzis will be ripped within three tfachim of the edge of the garment, and he'll sew
three
etzbaot. Sorry, I made the same mistake last week. Three etzbaot of the rim of the garment, and then he'll be tofer them. He'll sew them up, and then he'll run into a problem of ta'ase velo min ha'asui. So that's your higher than heaven, right? Somehow, if you have a garment that gets ripped within the three tefachim, and then you sew it up, you can run into a problem of ta'ase velo min ha'asui. So what exactly is the problem? How did we interpret it last week for lack of the broader perspective? How did we translate ta'ase velo min ha'asui last week?
on the garment, not vice versa.
Excellent. Everyone here? That you have to put tzitzis on the garment rather than a garment on your tzitzis. So that means that the garment must be manufactured previously, and you manufacture the tzitzis around the garment. If the tzitzis are pre-made, and then you're completing the garment around the tzitzis, so then the tzitzis are asuyos, and the garment is what you're being osa. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's that the garment is supposed to be nasa, and the tzitzis are what you're making. So that's the interpretation of Tosfos. Tosfos say tase means that you're supposed to make the tzitzis, right, on the garment, and not min ha'asui kvar, you're not supposed to use prefabricated tzitzis, right, when you're affixing them to the garment. You're not supposed to have the tzitzis prefabricated and construct the garment around the tzitzis. Now, where did Tosfos get this from? It's not really 100% clear in the psukim, but some mefarshim explain that it's from the pasuk of Gedilim Ta'aselach al arba kanfos kisuscha asher tichaseba. So they infer that you're supposed to make gedilim for yourself on the four corners of the garment which you'll cover yourself with. Well, that sounds like you've got a four-cornered garment, and the mitzvah is to make the tzitzis on the four-cornered garment. If you don't have a four-cornered garment yet, right, say the Mefarshim in the name of Tosfos, so then you don't have a mitzvah of tzitzis, you don't have a fulfillment of tzitzis, you don't have an object which the Torah acknowledges as gedilim or as tzitzis, right? It only is gedilim in fulfillment of the mitzvah if you're doing it ta'aselach al arba kanfos kisuscha, that there's already four corners, and now you're making the gedilim on the four corners. So that's where Tosos get it from, perhaps, in the psukim of ta'ase velo min ha'asui, that the tzitzis must be manufactured, right, onto the four-cornered garment, and they cannot be manufactured before the four-cornered garment is completed. So based on that, right, we'll talk about again this case where the garment got ripped. The garment got ripped, and so it's not complete. Right, it's not yet complete. Let's say that, right, I'm not going to break the tzitzis, but let's say I cut the tzitzis from the corner all the way to the hole, and now this set of strings fell out. So the strings are already made. The garment is incomplete. It's unsuitable to have tzitzis hanging from it until I either make another hole and put the tzitzis in, or I mend this hole. Truth is, that's a little bit hard, right? If I just have to make another hole, but then these tzitzis won't go into it, I'd have to unknot the tzitzis. If I have the tzitzis already knotted, right, and all I do is I sew up the garment so that the tzitzis remain in the hole, then I am making the garment around the tzitzis. The tzitzis are prefabricated, and I'm just making the garment around the tzitzis. That poses a difficulty of tase velo min ha'asoi. So that's the interpretation of Tosfos. So that corresponds in our riddle, what's higher than heaven? Right, but we need to see, because the Gemara is going to give us another four examples of tase velo min ha'asoi, what's lower than earth? Right? If you eat what, right, will one die? So we need to see whether this definition, right, or how this definition, which Tosfos suggests, fits not only with the first example, but also with all of the subsequent examples where Gemara uses this mystery concept, concept X, right, in concept tase velo min ha'asoi, right, in the Gemara. So let's just write down Tosfos over here. They'll tell us the first case is a ripped corner. Right, the tzitzis remain intact. Right. And we'll repair the corner around the tzitzis. Okay, so we've got a ripped corner, tzitzis remain intact, we repair the corner around the tzitzis. That's a problem of tase velo min ha'asoi, the tzitzis are prefabricated, and the garment is coming afterwards. So let's take a look now at the next case, which the Gemara describes as Tasa Velomina Asoi, and we'll see whether we can apply Tosfos' definition to this next case. Where are we starting from here? Second, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12. 12 lines from the top. Those of you who have the Ein Mishpat letters, it's above the little Dalid. That's the superscript. Right, one line above, directly above the little Dalid from the superscript of the Ein Mishpat. It's the middle of the line, word number 5 on the line. Amar Rava. We got it. Amar Rava.
Amar Rava, Amar Schora.
Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna. Rava said that Rav Schora said that Rav Huna said, Hitio Liba'alas Shalosh. A person who had a triangle beged. A beged that has three corners. A beged with three corners. And then after he put tzitzis on the three corners of the triangle beged, Hishlima Le'arba. Now he made a fourth corner on the beged, and then he put tzitzis onto the fourth corner as well. Says Rava, in the name of Rav Schora, in the name of Rav Huna, Psula, this garment is pasul. It looks totally normal. It looks like a normal pair of tzitzis. It's got four corners. It's got four sets of strings, but it is pasul mishum tase velo mina asoi, because of concept X. How does this work? Right, again, let's just draw the case. We don't even have to write it in letters. You can just say that you had triangle beged. I put tzitzis on this corner, tzitzis on this corner, tzitzis on this corner, and then I added on a fourth corner, and I put tzitzis on that corner too. So that is a case, a tosfos of tase below min. Everyone can see the diagram? Yes, okay. So I've got tasa velomina asoi. Can somebody apply Tosfos' definition to this case? In what sense are the tzitzis here prefabricated? Pre meaning before. Before what were these tzitzis fabricated?
There's three of them in already. Now he's adding the fourth, so those tzitzis also, the tzitzis were in there before.
What is the critical point that the manufacture of the tzitzis preceded, right? It's prefabricated. The fabrication of the tzitzis was pre something. What was it pre?
It was not a beged.
One second, we have a machlokas here. Some people are saying that it's pre this garment being a beged, and others are saying it's pre this garment being chayav in tzitzis. Right? All those who subscribe to second pshat, raise your hand.
Me.
Why is a three cornered beged not a beged?
Not
the chayav in tzitzis, right?
That was obvious.
Therefore,
it's not a beged chayav in tzitzis.
That's an obligation of tzitzis.
It's not a beged which is obligated in tzitzis. It's a beged which is exempt from tzitzis. And so is Tosfos' definition consistent? The first case he said that when the corner was ripped, the tzitzis were manufactured before. Now, in this case, right, what happened? Right, you had a fully made set of strings, and then you had a beged, right, which I'm imagining if it's a torn beged. So is a torn beged pater from tzitzis? Let's say that I cut this corner over here. Would that exempt the beged from tzitzis?
Not wearing it, Rebbe.
Is it pater from tzitzis?
Yes, because you're not a full corner.
So all I need to do in order to exempt this from tzitzis is to make a cut over here?
Yes.
I would say that would make this into a five-cornered beged.
No.
If I cut this corner over here, Right, I'll demonstrate on the undershirt because we're cutting it anyhow. Right, so here I have a four-cornered, genuine, bona fide four-cornered beged. Right, and now I'm going to cut it as follows. Okay, so imagine that we have some tzitzis right over here in this corner. Now I'm going to cut it. Ooh, the tzitzis fell out because I've cut it like this. And where the tzitzis used to be, now there's just this. So have I exempted this garment from tzitzis just by cutting it here? Or I would say I've made it into a five-corner garment. One, two.
But it says arba. You have to have four, not five.
Five has four also. Five is just four plus one. I don't have the 51%. So this should remain. So how many corners does this have?
Three. No, it still has four.
It's not a corner. It's considered a corner.
No, it's not a corner, right?
So what is this?
It's a puzzle that's prepared.
Because it doesn't have 51%.
It's a schmuck.
Even if it has the 51%, the corner is.
So you think that something like this is the same as if I rounded it? So let's work for a second with the assumption that that it's something which exempts the garment from tzitzis. So we'll say that in the first case with the ripped corner, so the garment became exempt from tzitzis, and now this set of strings that I've got over here, right, was manufactured prior, and not only this one, but the other three as well, right, were all manufactured prior to this garment's being obligated in tzitzis, and so it is asui, right, pre the critical point in time when the beged became chayiv in tzitzis, just like in the case of the triangle, right, where these three sets of strings were asoy, they were manufactured pre the moment in time when the garment became chayiv in tzitzis, and so Tosfos have a consistent definition between these two cases. If nothing is higher than heaven, nothing is lower than earth, but we still have another three cases to see how Tosfos fits his definition into each of the sentences. But the first two, they are definitely consistent.
Fourth corner was added later than the beged in the triangle.
Right, so a three-corner beged is after from tzitzis.
Right.
And you manufactured the tzitzis before the fourth corner was added, before the beged became chayev in tzitzis. So the Gemara challenges this. The Gemara says, what do you mean that you're not allowed to manufacture, to fabricate the tzitzis until the beged is chayav in tzitzis? A braisa seems to tell us otherwise. Mesve, says the Gemara. I'll challenge what we just said from a braisa. The braisa tells us that chasidim harishonim, the early righteous people, kevon she'orgu ba gimel, as soon as they wove three somethings, three units of length, three units of measurement on their garment, hayu matilin la techeles, they would already put, right, techeles here is being used as a synonym for tzitzis. Once they already wove three units of length, they would put tzitzis onto the beged. So what are we looking at? What it sounds like is that the case is as follows. Right, I've got my loom, and the top of the beged, right, comes out of the loom. Right, this is three. This is three. So I'll put on tzitzis and tzitzis. Now, is this beged chayav in tzitzis?
No.
Why is it not chayav in tzitzis? Right, keep in mind, right, this is what the beged looks like. It's coming out of a loom. It's coming out of a loom. It's coming out of a loom. Right, meaning it's not just two corners and nothing. It's all of this is woven. So one second. So it does have four corners.
But it doesn't have enough size for two.
Okay, so Mr. Ben Chaviv is saying it's too small, right? What's the shiur? What is the size? The minimum size, the smallest possible kosher talis, right? It's not three tfachim, right, by whatever the length is. It's got to be more than three tfachim tall, right, by whatever its length is. So let's say that this garment, that when it only has, three etzbaos, right, three etzbaos is not yet chayav in tzitzis. Right, so that's one of the two interpretations that Rashi offers. I'll treat the two as interchangeable, right, for the time being. And then what happens? I continue to weave the garment until it reaches its full intended size. And then I put the last two tzitzis on. So the first two are prefabricated. They were fabricated, they were manufactured before the totality of this garment became chayav in tzitzis. So that would seem to be a problem for Tosfos of Ta'ase Velo Min Ha'asui. So why does the Gemara say that the righteous people, the Chassidim Arishonim, used to put the tzitzis onto their garments in this way? Right? If anything, the Chassidim Arishonim should wait until the garment became chayiv in tzitzis before they put their tzitzis onto it. And to that, the Gemara, instead of addressing the problem head on, the Gemara says there's no way to challenge it head on. The only way to resolve it is to reinterpret the text. Right? We can't harmonize the concept of min ha'asui being possible with the conduct of the Chassidim as this interpretation of the Braisa says they conducted themselves. And therefore the only option that we have is to reinterpret the Braisa so that it's not referring to this case. So this case, basically that means that everyone agrees it's a case of min ha'asui. If this were the case that the Braisa was talking about, it would be possible. The Chassidim would be wearing non-kosher tzitzis. They would be wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. So this cannot be what they were doing. So that means that the Gemara is now certifying that this is a bona fide case of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. And therefore, it says the Braisa is not talking about this case. And it's talking about what, says the Gemara? Ema. Second. Ema, what does the word Ema mean? Ema is a very important transition word. Right? It's a very important transition word. It comes, right, even though you wouldn't know it, it only shares one letter, right, with the Hebrew word, which is its parallel, Omar. Right? I will say. Right? And that's the way that the Gemara is saying, let me suggest an alternate interpretation of the Braisa. Right? Ema say, or I will say, instead of the previous interpretation, the previous assumed interpretation, instead I'll say, Kivan shepatzu ba gimel, hayu matilin la techeles. How does that differ from what actually appears in the Braisa? What are the words of the Braisa?
Shargu ba gimel, agir shepatzu ba gimel.
Kivan she'arguba gimel, as opposed to kivan she'patzuba gimel. What's the difference between being oreg and being potzeya?
Beginning and end.
Now this is already beyond me. If I didn't have Rashi to help me, I would have no idea. Like, I don't have a bekius in the technical terms that the Gemara uses for weaving. Right, potzeya. Right, well, we have Rashi also. Potzeya, it does appear in Shabbos, right? Potzeya. Yes, but how would that apply to weaving? No, in Shabbos it appears in the context of weaving. Right, but Rashi helps us over here. Rashi says, Kevan shehigiu gimel etzbaot ha'achronim matilun latcheles miyad, when they got to the last three etzbaos. So here we're talking about not about a garment like this, right, but rather that the garment came out and it's basically got everything, right? That's a pretty big garment. And they will put the tzitzis here, 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 and then they would weave like the last, you know, two etzbaos like this, and it will be completed, and so we don't have a problem of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, because once again, the garment was already chayav in tzitzis at the time that they put the tzitzis onto it, so the manufacture of the tzitzis was not pre the garment, rather the garment was pre the tzitzis, and so the tzitzis was not asui, it was not already made at that critical juncture in time. It wasn't completed, you're right, but it was so close to completion that A, it was already chayav in tzitzis, right, and B, Right? You've got the robe, the 51%, you've got much more than the 51%. You have already begun to weave the part of the garment where ultimately the tzitzis will go. Right? It's within the last three etzpos, so you're up to, right, you're past the hole. You've already left the hole in the garment. And that's the hole that's going to be the final hole. So you don't have to wait until the last inch is done, but you can already put the tzitzis into the hole once you've incorporated the hole into the garment.
Still not fully made would suggest that it's not considered a full beged till it's actually made. So why would you still call it a beged? In other words, the definition of beged should be after it's manufactured. If you're still manufacturing, you're in the process of manufacturing, why call it a beged?
Enough so to be.
Right, 1 second. Why? But didn't we vote earlier that the issue at stake is not whether or not it's a beged, but rather whether or not it's a beged ha chay of betzitzis? And so let's say that I snatched it off the loom and I wanted to wear it. Would I be obligated to put tzitzis onto it? I would. It's more than three tfachim. And not only that, I've already made the hole, right, where I'm intending to put the tzitzis at the end. It's a size 5 beged. So I have to use a 4.9 with the hole there. I just have to do the last 0.1 units. And so it is a beged hachayev betzitzis in the full sense of the word. Yes?
Yeah, but tumah tara, it depends on the machshava when you say you want to finish the thing. So if you snap it off, before you snapped it off, it would be chayev. I mean, in other words, he's saying that since it's not completed yet, you have no machshava. It's not really a beged yet, but I don't know. Maybe for too many arrows.
Four holes on it, so that's a different concept.
Again, it may not be a beged for Tumah, yeah, right? But is it chayav betzitzis?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe you have to wonder then if it's not yet a beged, but it still is chayav betzitzis because it's.
That was what I got from him.
Yeah. What we call it, kanfos big day, kanfei big day hem, right? And it's also kisuscha, so that's already a little bit hard to know, but chances are that tzitzis has its own internal compass for what defines a beged and what doesn't define a beged, and we're not necessarily going to be dependent, right, on parallels to tumah or to any other field of halakha for that matter in order to define a beged. That's, we got into this a little bit on Thursday, right, where Rabbi Gestetner in his response to Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, so he tried to draw a lot on parallels from Hilchos Shabbos. Right, if a person tears felt, right, is that the same as tearing woven material or not? And to Hilchos Tumah, let's say that a person finds a kesem on felt, right, is that the same as finding it on woven garment or on plastic? Is that the same? But ultimately, he acknowledges that there are many, many difficulties in drawing parallels from Tumah and from Shabbos to tzitzis, because tzitzis do follow their own internal compass, and so it's tricky to draw the parallels. Yes?
Explain to me, how do you bring tumah into this? I don't grasp that.
That if,
how do you bring tumah?
By tzitzis it says, al kanfei big dehem.
Yes.
And by tumah we have a discussion about tumah attaching to a beged. Right, called beged v'chol klior. And so we can assume if something is not defined as a beged in tumah, then perhaps it should not be defined as a beged, right, for tzitzis as well. And the truth is, the Gemara did this already. Also, the Gemara said that, right, when we talk about big dehem, when it says o beged for tumah, the o is coming to include even katan and silk, and therefore, right, according to one reading of the Gemara, we say that presumably in the Dara Midbar they wore katan and silk as well. And so when it says al kanfei big dehem, it's not limited to wool and linen, but it includes katan and silk as well. And so there you have, albeit indirectly, right, some sort of an import from tumah to the laws of tzitzis.
What was the Russian putting on tzitzis?
What was
the rush before they even finished the beggar? What was the rush?
Zvizim Makdimin.
But they weren't worrying, they wasn't for themselves, they were manufacturing for other people,
not necessarily.
one way or another. They wanted. No, because there's no. The mitzvah is not to put the tzitzis onto the beged. The mitzvah is to wear a beged that's chayav in tzitzis.
It wasn't their beged. It was the big dam. It's not big dam. It's big the beged to somebody else.
What's the chassidus? The question is, by Boaz's question is, what is the chassidus? Why is it considered righteous and meritorious not to let your four-cornered garment go for even a moment, right, of being obligated in tzitzis and not having tzitzis?
Maybe they held it
was a chovas mana. They may have held that the mitzvah was, even if you're just going to keep the talis hanging in your closet the whole year and you'll never wear it, they may have held that that still is a mitzvah. Or, right, being chassidim, they didn't have to have held that, you know, as being halacha l'maisa, but they may have held that there's a 10% chance that that's the mitzvah. And if that's the case, then they wanted to make sure that they were 100% yotzei. So they put on the tzitzis right away. They didn't want to have the four-cornered garment for even an instant without the tzitzis, just in case the mitzvah is to have the tzitzis on every four-cornered garment, whether you're wearing it or not. Right? Or alternately, you know, it's very exciting, right? The new Harry Potter book comes out, you know, so how many people, you know, line up around the Barnes & Noble because you want to get it, you know, as early as possible. It can't wait. Right, so here you've got the potential to have a new pair, right, of tzitzis. So why wait and not make it kosher earlier? Delay the kosherizing of this pair of tzitzis. Make it kosher as early as possible. It's exciting, right, for them. Right, a new pair of tzitzis is like getting the latest, you know, installment, right, in the series that everyone's waiting to read. So
you're coming to the possibility of, like Tosfot said, that the Sivruminasui. If you don't finish it, you're already putting on tzitzis by beggar. It's not even manufactured yet.
No, but it is chayav.
It is already chayav.
And so again, right, I'll draw it.
Tzitzis already before they finish it off.
So it's been
right. So what we've got is this. And this, and this, and this. Wait, and then all I did was I added on the last two etzba'ot, and that is not, the Gemara is saying this is not a problem of tasa v'lomin ha'asui, right? Because this garment, which was, this is how it looked when they put the tzitzis on, this was already chayav in tzitzis, right? And even the corner, the last corner, was already beginning to take shape. Right, I would say they already put in the hole for where the tzitzis is ultimately going to be, and so that, by all standards, is already chayav in tzitzis. Now, keep in mind the reason that I erased this drawing before is because we're making a list now, right, of the different instances, right, which the Gemara says, right, pose a difficulty of concept X of tasa v'lo min ha'asui. So this doesn't belong on the list because this does not pose a difficulty of tasa v'lo min ha'asui. Right, this is a case which the Gemara says the Chassidim or Rishonim used to do it, and it was fine. But these three cases, the Gemara does certify as being bona fide tasa v'lo min ha'asuis, and so far all three of them have fit consistently with Tosfos definition. There's a fourth one. We'll just read the fourth one today, so that way you'll have the full picture, and we'll return tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, to analyze the implications, right, of this fourth one for Tosfos positions. So let's just...
But one last thing. In this last part, where they're doing just the last piece of putting it together, and it was Mechuyev, the tzitzis,
mm-hmm.
And so they put the tzitzis already on the four corners. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So now the part that they're adding, it turned out that they're not equally al kanfei begdeihem, because the last two that they're putting on are going to be much further from the corner.
No. So because it's within
considered al kanfei begdeihem.
It's within three etzba'ot. So imagine, but right, imagine that I'm answers, imagine I'm taking.
That
yeah.
It's
okay. So that's what it says. Patsu.
It has to be only be three
within the.
If it's more than that, it would be a problem.
Right. Yeah, if it's more than that, it would be a problem.
It wouldn't be our
yes. Yeah. Right. Which is a little bit against what Mr. Ben Chaviv said. You can fight it out afterwards. He said the problem is it was pachos mikashior, right? And you're saying that the problem is that, you know, the tzitzis are being too far, right, from the ultimate corner, right? That's two versions of Rashi. Rashi mentions both of them, and so you can see which of you has a stronger shot afterwards. Let's just read the last case of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Umi Aminon, do we say Ha'im aminon, ha'im omrim, do we really say, tase velomina osoi, that this concept X, right, is actually a problem, that it exists and poses a difficulty for the manufacture of tzitzis, prefabricated tzitzis, right, are really a problem? The ha'amar Rabbi Zeira, didn't Rabbi Zeira say that hitil limutalis, if you place tzitzis onto a garment which already has tzitzis placed on it, kishera, that would be kosher. So we see two things from this Gemara, and we're going to conclude with this. Number one, Rabbi Zeira seems to paskin, hitil limutalis, kishera. But at the same time, the Gemara seems to assume that that would pose a difficulty, right? Case number four of Tasa Velo Min Ha'asoy. So this is what we have. Four-corner garment. It's already got one pair of tzitzis, right? And now I'm putting on a second pair of tzitzis, right? A second set of strings. In the same four corners, exactly. The Gemara says this poses a problem of tase velo min ha'asui. So we're going to have to ask ourselves, is this consistent? Again, it's the havamina. Rabbi Zeira says this is fine. This is not tase velo min ha'asui. But the Gemara at this point is assuming that if tase velo min ha'asui existed, that this would pose a problem of tase velo min ha'asui. So is the Gemara's assumption that this is tase velo min ha'asui consistent or inconsistent with Tosfos' definition? In other words, Tosfos say tasa means that the tzitzis were prefabricated, right, before the beged, right? You are not allowed to have tzitzis which are asuyos at the moment that the beged becomes chayav in tzitzis. So in this case, right, are we going to say that the second pair of tzitzis, right, are prefabricated, that they're manufactured before the beged became chayav in tzitzis? So then I'm going to leave you to think about overnight, and Be'ezras Hashem will pick up with this tomorrow.
What is it?
You have four tzitzis already on a square garment, and you put on another four pairs. Another four tzitzis.
You have a triangle. The first illustration was a triangle. I was here. Now you have three corners. What if you cut down? You have four corners by cutting it in half. If you slice that one triangle down straight ahead, then you have four corners again.
But you would have to do this to make it four corners. Shira malos mi mamakim kirasicha Adonai. Adonai yishima vikoli tihiyana oznecha kashuvos lekol tachinunai. Ima vonos tishmar yah Adonai mi yamod. Ki imecha asalicha lema'an tivarei.